The reading is from Luke chapter 5, beginning at verse 1. It's on page 1032 in the Bibles. Luke chapter 5. One day, as Jesus was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, with the people crowding round him and listening to the word of God, he saw at the water's edge two boats, left there by the fishermen, who were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little from shore. Then he sat down and taught the people from the boat. When he'd finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into deep water and let down the nets for a catch." Simon answered, "Master, we've worked hard all night and haven't caught anything. But because you say so, I will let down the nets." When they'd done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. So they signalled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both boats so full they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, "Go away from me, Lord, I am a sinful man." For he and all his companions were astonished at the catch of fish they'd taken, and so were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, Simon's partners. Then Jesus said to Simon, "Don't be afraid. From now on you will catch men." So they pulled their boats up on shore, left everything, and followed him. This is the word of the Lord.
Good morning, and it's a real privilege to be here this morning to share the word of God with you. This is a passage of scripture that is primarily about the calling of Jesus' first disciples, and Jesus demonstrates to them a miracle to his disciples, a miracle that they as fishermen would have been totally awestruck by. Now, have you ever seen something and thought to yourself, "Wow, that is awesome"? It may be dependent on how easily you are moved by something. I'm easily pleased. I'm one of those people that, you know, I can look at it and say, "Oh, this is great. This is awesome." You know, if I stand on a high mountain in the Lake District, which I often do, and look around at God's creation and the view of the other mountains, I'm just filled with awe and wonder. The wonder of God's creation and the wonder that I actually made it up there in one piece again. Now, there's a lot of things that we can take home from this passage of Scripture this morning, but one of the things that I want us to see is the awe and wonder of this miracle that Jesus performs for his disciples, and in particular, Simon Peter's reaction, whose reaction is not just wonder, but actually fear. Now, if you don't know this, but we need to explain that this Simon is, of course, Simon Peter, who later becomes Peter the Rock. You know, one of the senses that we lose as we get older is that sense of wonder, isn't it? That sense of saying, "Wow, that really is awesome." You know, if I was to take my 6-month-old grandson in my arms and show him his favourite toy and rattle it at him, you know, his face is, you know, it's, "Wow, you know, it's great." You know, whatever this is, this little toy that rattles him, his eyes widen up, and he's this sense of being filled with awe at it, isn't it? It's great. You know, and I think if I was to perhaps show him the same toy in about a year's time, maybe not so awesome, you know? And if I was to shout to him in, you know, in his teenage years, you know, when he's the rat lit in his face, you can imagine the response that I would get. You know, we do, as we get older, as we become sort of more worldly in our outlook, we do lose our sense of awe and wonder, that sort of childlike wonder of things around us. Although I must admit, I was rather chuffed when I received my free Oyster card this year. Now, this is very early on in Jesus' ministry, of course, this passage of Scripture. In Luke, we read that it starts off with Jesus as a child, and we've got the Christmas story. His temptation in the wilderness, being rejected in his hometown of Nazareth, driving a demon out of a man in a synagogue, and then in chapter 4, verse 38, in what appears to be Simon Peter's first encounter with Jesus, Jesus goes into the home of Simon's mother-in-law and heals her of a fever. Now, no doubt Simon was witness to all this, and he would be witness also to when Jesus, it says at the end of chapter 4, the crowds come to him and he heals many. So we arrive at chapter 5 and we find, as a result of what's gone on before, Jesus has a crowd around him and he's standing by the lake of Gennesaret or Sea of Galilee, if you like, and the fishermen are washing their nets, having been out most of the night without much success. And Jesus commandeers Simon's boat and pushes a little way off the shore in order to separate himself from the crowd. And he sits down in the boat and he begins to teach them. And now when Jesus finishes speaking, he turns to Simon and he says, "Okay, let's push out into the deep water and put your nets down." Now, it's important to note this here, that Jesus is connecting to Simon's world, isn't he? He's connecting to Simon the fisherman here. And this is what he's going to speak to mostly to Simon, is the fact that Jesus is connecting in his world, in his trade, if you like. And so they push the boat out, and Jesus says to Simon, "Okay, let's put the nets down in the deep water." And Simon's reaction is pretty much what you would expect. You know, I just wonder what he's going through his mind there. You know, if you know, we men, we're not very good at being told what to do when we're an expert in our own field. Do you know what I mean? There's a sort of bit of a prior thing. You know, you might be a motor mechanic or something like that, and you work all day on a car and you just can't get it going. And then someone sort of comes up behind you and says, "You know, have you tried, you know, I don't know, undoing that spark plug and giving it a polish?" And you're like, "Please, please. You know, I know what I'm doing. This is my trade." You know, they go away and you go, spark plug out, give it a polish. Next thing you know, car's working. We've all had moments like that, haven't we? And I think, you know, Simon is going through one of those scenarios. You know, he says to Jesus, "Master, we've worked hard all night and we haven't caught anything. But because you say so, I will let down the nets." Do you know, there's a lesson in obedience here, isn't there? Are we the kind of disciples that are willing to follow Jesus' lead, to do as he commands? It reminds me of Jesus' mother, Mary, at the wedding in Cana. When the wine runs out, she tells the servants, "Do whatever he tells you." Do you know, do we look into the scriptures and read Jesus' teaching and his commands and think to ourselves, "I must do whatever he bids me to do"? You know, after all, obedience is better than sacrifice. You know, we gladden the heart of God when we are obedient to Jesus' words. "Because you say so, Master, I will do it." Simon could quite easily say, "Well, no, it won't work. You know, I've been up here, I was out here all last night without success. I'm the fisherman here. If I can't catch fish during the night when they bite best, I'm certainly not going to catch them during the day when, you know, the heat of the sun's up and the lake's warm and the fish are sleeping at the bottom. I'm not going to, it's impossible. I'm not going to catch any fish today. You know, we can be like that ourselves sometimes, can't we? When Jesus speaks something into our lives, we like to do it our own way. We like to think that we can do better. I know I'm like that. But Jesus, in his infinite wisdom, he sees the whole picture from beginning to end. He knows what's going to happen. He knows when the nets are put down. He knows what's going to happen, doesn't he? Simon doesn't. He says, well, not going to catch anything. Not going to catch anything. Yeah, it's not going to happen. But Simon says to Jesus, Master, Rabbi, Teacher, because you say so, I will do it. And God loves to hear us say those words. Because you say so, Lord, I will do it. We see in verse 6 that it all begins to happen. The catch is too great to handle. And the nets, they begin to break. So heavy is the load of fish. Simon and his crew, James and John, have to shout to the shore for help because the load of fish is not only starting to break the nets, but it's causing the boat to sink. Panic time. I didn't think this was going to happen. Put the nets down and they're so full of fish and the boat's starting to sink. It's breaking the nets. And while this is all going on, Simon Peter, he's struck with fear and in an astonishment. And in verse 8 we read, when Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, go away from me, Lord, I am a sinful man. Simon is having that moment when he realizes that he is in the presence of no ordinary person. He falls down and he grabs Jesus around the knees and he calls him Lord. Earlier on, he was Master. But when Simon Peter sees this great miracle, he's just so awestruck of what's going on here that he falls at Jesus' knees, grabs him, and he calls him Lord. What's happening in Simon's heart here? Is he so aware of his own shortcomings, his sinfulness, that it's as if he cannot bear to be in Jesus' presence? Everything that he perceives Jesus to be, Simon, he is not. Simon is aware that he is in the presence of divine holiness, and he's full of conviction about his own sin. So much that he can't even bear to be in Jesus' presence here. He says, go away from me, Lord, because I'm a sinful man. Go away. You know, how awesome is the presence of Jesus? You know, when I became a Christian in my late teens, I could identify with Simon Peter in this. I was full of fear and wonder in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, for the first time in my life, I had a tangible experience in the presence of my Lord and Saviour, and it was so real to me. It was just, don't ask me what the chemistry of it was. Did it happen in some sort of formula, in some sort of set way? There was no Sunday school involved or anything like that, you know. It was just me as I am, my own sinful self, in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who was reaching out to me, and convicted me of my sinful, selfish ways. And at that time, I was so awestruck that the Lord Jesus Christ would do that for me. I've been on many mountaintops in my time, in more ways than one. And that experience, though, of knowing Jesus for the first time will never lose its awesomeness. Never. And at that time, I was aware of my own shortcomings, my sinfulness. And I can understand here why Simon says to Jesus, "Go away, I'm a sinful man." Have you had that experience of your own, you know? Where you found Jesus, where you've been in his presence, and you've been so awestruck by his holiness, by his love surrounding you? Have you had that experience? I know many of you sitting here this morning have had that experience. And as I'm speaking, it resonates with you. And that was a long time ago when I came to know the Lord in my late teens, that experience. But I have to say that I've spent the rest of my adult life trying to work out what exactly happened then. And that's the beauty of the Christian journey, isn't it? It's the beauty of being a disciple, that trying to work out that God so loved me so much that he gave his son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to come and rescue this sinful, selfish guy. Have you had that experience of your own? In verse 11, the fisherman... I'm ahead of myself here, folks. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, "Go away from me, Lord, I'm a sinful man." For he and all his companions were astonished at the catch of the fish they had taken. And so were James and John, the sons of Zebedee and Simon's partners. And then Jesus said to Simon, "Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. From now on, you will catch men." Don't be afraid. There's nothing to be fearful of when we're in Jesus' presence. You know, no doubt you're going to be sharing that story again of the angel of the Lord coming down amongst the shepherds in their field. And the glory of the Lord shines around them. And they're in fear of their lives. It's such an awesome thing. What's going on here? And what do they say to them? "Don't be afraid. Good news. Don't be afraid. It's good news." And this is what Jesus says to Simon. "It's okay. It's all right, Simon." This is sort of dragging him off. It's all right, Simon. It's going to be okay. "But you know what, Simon? From now on, you're not going to be catching just fish. You're going to be catching men. No more fish, but men. And in times to come, Simon becomes Peter, the rock, doesn't he? And he would catch men, but not of his own doing. It's of the Lord's leading, by the Holy Spirit, in obedience to the Lord. And he's the one who chooses the catch." And then in verse 11, we see that the fishermen, they pull up their boats onto the shore with their huge catch. But they leave everything, it says. And they followed him. So they pulled their boats up on the shore, left everything, and followed Jesus. Do you know what that catch of fish that they're leaving behind there, that's of great value, isn't it? You know, I wouldn't mind betting that's probably a good few months' wages there that they've brought into shore. So much in those nets, that the nets are breaking, the boats are sinking. That's a huge catch of fish. And it's very, very, very valuable. But what happens here? They leave it and they follow Jesus. What have we got that is of such great value in our lives, in this sort of materialistic world that we live in, that we value so much, that we have the courage to leave it behind and follow Jesus? Because that's what Jesus calls us to do. It's what Jesus was calling Simon Peter and his disciples to do. He expects everything in our lives to be of no use or consequence compared to following him. It's what being a disciple means. Putting Jesus first, because he came and put us before himself by going to the cross at Calvary. So, as we close, I just want to ask us a question. Do we need to examine ourselves, especially as we lead up to the celebration of Christmas? Do we need to examine ourselves in order that we can check that we are putting him first, leaving everything and following him in his awesome presence? I would say that I would love to do that for myself, for my family, for my friends, and for you. That would be my prayer. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for this message. We thank you for this passage of Scripture and what it teaches us. It teaches us that you are a God of miracles and that you are a God who loves us and reaches out and blesses us in ways that we can't imagine. And we are so full of wonder, so full of awe that you would do this for us, especially, Father God, that you would give your only Son for us. And Lord, having paid such a great price on our behalf, Lord, we examine our hearts and say, Lord, what can we do for you? What can we give back? How can we serve you? Lord, it may be in the small things. It may just be in a small conversation, a small bit of encouragement given to a brother or sister or a stranger. Or it might mean more than that. It might mean leaving everything behind, leaving a great catch behind, and following you to the mission field. Whatever it is, Lord, I pray that you would speak to our hearts and show us, Lord, how you would want us to follow you for your glory and your name's sake. Amen.